WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Novelist George V. Higgins has a new mystery, Victories. Higgins writes dialogue that uses underworld slang, and that's part of the reason linguist Jeffrey Nunberg is a fan. Reading Higgins, Jeff says, makes him reflect about the fate of slang.
I recall seeing a survey once that showed that a bunch of British critics had ranked George V. Higgins among the five greatest post-war American novelists. I don't know why Higgins is a prophet with so much less honor here. It may be that Americans are no longer interested in the criminal demi-monde that Higgins writes about. Nowadays, we seem to prefer the imported genteel delinquency of P.D. James or the officially sanctioned thuggery of international spies. It's a change of taste that shows up in the language as well, in the sad decline of slang. Since Shakespeare's time, the English language and its literature have been enriched by the language of thieves, gypsies, vagabonds, and their colleagues. Dictionaries and glossaries of slang began to appear as early as the 16th century. I have an 1811 edition of Captain Gross's Dictionary of Buckish Slang and Pickpocket Eloquence as revised by a member of the Whip Club, assisted by Hellfire Dick. It lists such words as curmudgeon, cocksure, crony, bully, and slang itself, all of which eventually passed into standard usage. A lot of this language was first made popular to polite society in what the 19th century called Newgate novels, named after the prison. These were enormously popular romances about rogues and highwaymen, which were sometimes so laced with underworld slang that they required footnotes. Thackeray parodied the genre in Vanity Fair. Is that your snum? I'll gully the dag and bimble the clicky in a snuffkin. A few Victorian reformers made an effort to portray the underworld in something more like its sordid reality. Dickens wrote Oliver Twist as a kind of corrective to the Newgate novel. But the genre remained popular through the end of the century. The fascination is easy enough to understand. For the Victorians and their successors, the underworld was just what its name implied, a nether region as dark and elaborately structured as Dante's. It was the repository of all of the violent and erotic currents that respectable society couldn't acknowledge in itself, and it provided names for all the things that respectable people found literally unspeakable. There was a similar vogue for underworld language in pre-war America. Thanks to the gangster movie and the detective thriller, the voices of the yegg and the grifter were heard everywhere in the land. As Sam Spade put it in The Maltese Falcon, the cheaper the crook, the gaudier the patter. But most Americans were titillated rather than disdainful. The fashion was satirized in Bringing Up Baby, where society girl Katharine Hepburn starts spouting gangster lingo in order to convince a Connecticut constable that she's really Swinging Door Susie and escaped con.
Get wise to yourself. The heat's on, Jerry.
Jerry? Ain't his name Bone?
Well,
of course it isn't Bone.
Ah, you mean to say you don't remember Jerry the Nipper?
Jerry the Nipper? Make a note of that, Doc.
Constable, she's making all this up out of motion pictures,
you
see.
But the romance of the underworld died with the notion of respectable society itself. The professional criminals are still around, of course, the working class safecrackers, con men, and car thieves that Higgins brings to life in his novels. But once the middle class cut loose, it no longer had to live vicariously through underworld language. It's true that a lot of middle-class slang still comes from the language of inner-city blacks, who have always been perceived as citizens of the underworld in the white American scheme of things. But most of it has come from the specialized lifestyles of the white middle class itself, from the language of hippies, surfers, hot tubbers, yuppies, druggies, and hackers. The trouble is that their worlds aren't shrouded in forbidden mysteries, and their words don't evoke the salacious tingling that slang could set off in Victorian ears.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.